We move to case number 6, Warren versus Colvin. Mr. Jenner.
Thank you. May it please the court and counsel for the government. My name is William Jenner, and I'm representing Ronald Warren in this case. This is an appeal from a denial of his Social Security disability benefits. The main regulation involved is the listing 1205 regarding mental retardation. It requires three things: an IQ between 60 and 70. It requires another additional impairment which imposes additional significant work-related limitations, and finally, deficits in adaptive functioning initially manifested before the age of 22. Ron Warren, ostensibly and factually in this case, appears to meet that listing. His IQ scores when he was a child were essentially in the 60s, or a few 70s, low 70s, but of course the Social Security rules say when you have several, you take the lowest one. So he met the first prong of the test.
And there's a standard error of measurement in those testing, is
5 points, I think, according to the DSM.
Up or down?
Yes. The second prong of the test, the ALJ found in his decision that his severe impairments, which included diabetes, obesity, osteoarthritis of the knees and hips, as well as back problems, and I quote here, more than minimally affect the claimant's ability to perform basic work functions. So I think the ALJ, in his own decision, admits he missed the second prong of the test. And on the third prong of the test, he was unable to complete high school in Small Shoals High School until he was age 20. His grades, which are in the record, were D's, D-minus, and F's in practically all academic courses. There is a psychological report.
So those weren't special ed courses. In high school, wasn't he?
He testified that he did not have special ed after a certain age.
Yeah, he was. Wasn't he
and
special
I don't
ed
know
up
if that's
to eighth
because
grade?
Shoals didn't offer it, or Shoals is a very small school in Marshall County.
So he got a general education diploma, right? Not a special ed.
It's my understanding he did. But he had those grades in his academic courses.
Those courses weren't offered. You started to say small school in Martin County, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
And they didn't offer those courses. Weren't available to him where he was going to school.
Special ed.
That's my belief. I would assume that, but I don't know. Early on, he'd been tested psychologically, found to have some brain malfunction, slow learning, misarticulation of speech, and all that manifested itself before age 22. So he met the third test of the listing. But the appellant argues, and the ALJ concludes, that since after age 22, he at times performed a semi-skilled job, that he lacked deficits in adaptive functioning after age 22.
What age was he when he started with the County Highway Department?
He was much older. It was in 1994. And one of the things I think that the court overlooks there, the ALJ overlooked, was he got that job after his father had been elected commissioner. And certainly, I think we all know that politics can sometimes help a person maintain a job and obtain
utterly
a job
shocked.
And sometimes hold it.
Let's be
shocked.
Careful what we say about County Highway Department. Some members of this panel may have
State Highway.
Oh, okay.
But and that job is where the supposedly semi-skilled work came. And I think this argument mistakenly assumes that persons with substandard IQs can perform semi-skilled work or cannot do it, because it's well known that persons with mild to moderate mental retardation can perform semi-skilled work. That's noted in the DSM-4, which is in my appendix. That is why the listing says it's not the mental retardation that disables you, it's having another additional work-related impairment, which is the disabling factor under the listing. And clearly, there was evidence that this claimant, Mr. Warren, had deficits in adaptive functioning after the age of 22. He testified he had the inability to understand words that he read. He had the inability to make change, has to trust the clerk. And as I pointed previously, his significant earnings were in that county highway job, which he obtained after his father was elected commissioner in 1994.
How long did he hold the county highway job?
Until he got a DUI, about 8 or 9 years. And then he lost the job because of the DUI, but of course he made a miraculous recovery from his alcohol problems, and I think everyone admits that, even conducts.
Was his father still commissioner when he got the DUI? Do we know that?
Don't know that for a fact. Don't know that for a fact. So I would ask this court to reverse this decision. It's not based on substantial evidence. The ALJ here failed to conduct a full and fair hearing by failing to at least order adult IQ testing, because Mr. Warren's mental abilities were clearly in question. And that kind of comports with the Savage case, which is cited by the district court and by me in my brief. In addition, the ALJ failed to include any specific reference to mental limitations in the hypothetical to the vocational expert. He didn't say anything about him being mentally retarded. And the appellee says, I waived this argument. I don't think I did. I pointed out at the district court level it was brought up in referred to O'Connor versus Spinner. But the ALJ attempts to define his finding of moderate limitations of concentration, persistence, and pace as limiting the hypothetical claimant to unskilled, simple, repetitive work. And that is not, in according to the Seventh Circuit decision, O'Connor versus Spinner, in my opinion, enough. Hypotheticals should contain, and I think the cases back this up, references to all impairments, including non-exertional impairments, which would include, of course, mental retardation, or if he wasn't mentally retarded, at least the fact he had borderline intellectual functioning. The argument on the RFC, the fact remains the ALJ, one of his two reasons for giving little weight to the RFC of a specialist, an orthopedic surgeon who examined the claimant and made an opinion about his residual functional capacity, and he rejected it because the issue was reserved to the commissioner. And in my opinion, that clearly shows the ALJ did not understand that standard. And finally, I feel that the ALJ placed far too much emphasis on the daily activities of Mr. Warren, which this court has repeatedly held are not equivalent to the performance of full-time work. For those reasons, I ask that the court reverse and remand this case.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Ms. Patterson?
Good morning. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Danielle Patterson, and I am representing the Commissioner of Social Security. I would like to jump immediately to something that opposing counsel said a moment ago. He represented to this court that the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, we call it the DSM-4, indicates that somebody with mental retardation or mild mental retardation can perform semi-skilled work. I would direct your attention to the appendix that he referred to and show you that nowhere in those pages does the DSM-4 say that. In fact, I would like to point out that what the DSM-4 says is that people with mild, and this is not moderate or severe mental retardation, this is mild mental retardation, are considered educable. They can acquire academic skills up to approximately the sixth grade level. They can function, they can obtain social and vocational skills adequate for minimum self-support, but may need supervision, guidance, and assistance, especially when under unusual social or economic stress.
Well, that point being made, but I'm troubled by the hypothetical that's asked to the VE. Though the types of limitations that are reflected in what DSM-4 indicates there don't seem to be present in the question.
Your Honor, first of all, I'd like to highlight that there was no diagnosis of borderline intellectual functioning in this case. The only psychological mental expert that interviewed Mr. Warren did not find any difficulties whatsoever with his intellectual functioning.
But there was no adult IQ testing, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
That would have been helpful to have some points to evaluate that with, wouldn't it?
Had the ALJ determined that Warren met the initial threshold requirement of listing 1205C, then certainly one could suggest that he might have obtained updated IQ scores. However, because the ALJ made findings that show that he did not find that Warren had those adaptive functioning deficits that are the threshold requirement of 1205C, he did not need the updated IQ testing. Again, we have a psychological expert here, Dr. Fink, who he himself did not find any basis for psychological testing or for IQ testing.
But his childhood scores clearly were, at best, borderline.
They were borderline, Your Honor. I'd like to point out that the Wechsler scores were all above 70. They were 71, 70, and 75. The other scores were from the Peabody, which is actually a picture completion test that's given to children who are pre-verbal. That test is not one of the tests under 1205C, that it has a standard mean of 100 and that has a 15-point deviation as we require. I will admit, though, that there were borderline scores, and I will agree with you there. Even if there were a short period of time that Warren was having some education difficulties in that very early part of his life, he himself testified that at age 11, he no longer required special education services. And I would again like to take issue with something said by opposing counsel suggesting that there's some evidence in the record that this was a school district that couldn't afford special ed or that somehow didn't provide it. The record directly contradicts that statement. This gentleman was in the same school district.
Well, in fairness, I think it was a judge that suggested that it's too small to have such a...
You might be right, Your Honor. I'd like to make sure that that's not something that this court believes.
But your indication was the judge was wrong and the school did offer?
My point is that he was in the same school district when he was in special ed up to the age of 11 and that he was then, he said, no longer needed special education services. He completed junior high and high school and graduated from high school.
At age 20.
Again, Your Honor, there's no evidence he skipped a grade or missed a grade. It's not clear from the record why he graduated.
Sounds like a social promotion.
It's, again, Your Honor, there's absolutely no evidence of that in the record. The evidence is that he graduated from high school and junior high. I'd like to draw your attention.
His grades in some pretty simplistic-looking courses are horrible.
Your Honor, again, academic achievement does not necessarily correlate with mild mental retardation.
True.
I'd like to draw your attention to his functioning more recently. I think this is critical in this case, and it's what the ALJ properly looked at. This is an individual who is living independently for many years. In fact, he was taking care of his disabled mother for several years. She was a double amputee, and it testified that he was doing all the cooking and shopping. He was lifting her in and out of the car when he could to get her to appointments. He was running the family farm after his father passed away. He also engages in what is a very, I think, fairly characterized as highly skilled woodworking. This is a gentleman who is making picnic tables and picnic benches and things of that nature. This is an individual who...
It sounded like he made two or three benches in a year. Doesn't sound like a...
That's two or three more than I'd make.
Well, true. And me as well. But that doesn't sound like an ongoing business. It sounds like a kind of an occasional hobby.
And I'm not arguing that it was business, Your Honor. I'm certainly not suggesting he was making some sort of profit from this that would be considered, you know, an activity of work. What I'm saying is that if you look at the totality of... This is not an individual who's not functioning. This is a highly functioning individual.
He's functioning, but at what level? I think when you said he was carrying on the farm work, it was reduced at one point when they were selling it off to mowing pasture.
Your Honor, that is at one point, but another point, he does admit and testify that he ran the family farm after his father passed away.
Well, that's running the farm, but there was something about needing a platform to get on the tractor.
Again, that has something to do with physical abilities rather than his mild mental retardation allegations, Your Honor. This is a highly functioning individual who's living independently. He's working, and maybe the unskilled work or semi-skilled work. The point is that he is working, not in sheltered environments, but in regular jobs for years and years at a time. There's no suggestion that he's having any cognitive difficulties with this job. And I think, as counsel did already bring up, the only reason he lost his most recent job was because of a DUI, not because of some cognitive difficulty or even some physical disability. The ALJ in this case properly looked at the activities.
How long ago was that DUI?
Your Honor, I'm not 100% sure. I believe he said he last worked in 2003 originally, then later admitted he worked in 2008, and then there was some admission of work in 2010, but my recollection is that that DUI may have been 2003 or 2004. I would ask you to take a look at Dr. Fink's exam. He's the only psychological expert in the record that saw Mr. Warren. This is a gentleman who's performing serial sevens. I have to be honest, as a lawyer, I'm not sure I can do that kind of math. He is doing simple calculations. He admits he has no problem making change, no problem doing simple math calculations. He had no difficulty reading. He has a driver's license and does drive. This is simply not the kind of person who has such deficiencies in adaptive functioning that the ALJ would have been required to obtain additional IQ testing, a very expensive test that would be undertaken at the agency's expense, or that the ALJ was compelled to find that he met 1205C. With respect to Dr. Rang's opinion, I would note that Dr. Rang was one of three physicians who rendered an opinion about Warren's ability to function physically. The other two opinions coming from our state agency physicians.
But they conducted no exam. Dr. Rang
did a face-to-face
exam.
As far as we know, yes, Dr. Rang did examine. He did find an antalgic gait and decreased range of motion, but normal strength and normal sensation. And then he rendered an opinion that because of back, knee, and hip problems, that Warren had been essentially disabled, unable to do full-time work for the past 2 years, even though he had only examined him on that one occasion. The ALJ and the district court properly considered that factor, that the opinion did not jive with the rest of the treatment history. If you'll look carefully, there's not another single mention of hip or knee pain in the record. There's never a point where he seeks treatment for those impairments. He, in fact, does not mention them in a May 2010 exam, which is at transcript page 443. That examination was entirely normal and was only 5 months before Dr. Rang's letter. And then Dr. Fink saw him in December 2010, only 1 month after Dr. Rang's exam. And while he was focused on the psychological aspects of Mr. Warren's limitations, he does note that he had a normal gait and did not have any difficulty getting around his office. So that seems at odds with Dr. Rang's suggestion that he had a severely impaired gait and had significant disability based on knee and hip problems. The ALJ gave an appropriate amount of weight to the opinion of this one-time examiner who provided no treatment notes to support his opinion and who did not render an opinion that was consistent with the rest of the record.
Well, I'm just looking at the conclusion, Dr. Rang. It has to do with his ability to sit or stand more than anything else, right, doesn't it?
Correct. He said because of knee, hip, and back pain, he would have significant limitations of his ability to sit, stand, and walk, I believe, as well. Finally, I'd like to address the only other argument that counsel raised this morning with respect to the credibility. The ALJ in this case performed a very thorough credibility evaluation. He did consider the very, very significant and broad range of daily activities Mr. Warren engaged in, but by no means is there evidence that he gave more weight to that one factor than to any other factor. To the extent he mentioned the activities in two or three different places in his decision, the district court found that his analysis at those different stages required consideration of the daily activities. They needed to be considered at the B. I see my time is up. I will simply ask the court to affirm.
You can finish your thought if you have.
Thank you, Your Honor. The B criteria of the mental impairments requires consideration of daily activities. The ALJ included a recitation of those when he was talking about the testimony. And again, he assessed them as the regulations require him to do during the credibility. For those reasons, we'd ask that you affirm the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
I'd like to make a few comments. Number one, I think certainly an orthopedic surgeon can opine based on an actual examination as to an onset date. They do it all the time. They can certainly tell from that examination how long the condition may have existed. The other thing she points out is that Mr. Warren had very little treatment. However, there's no mention by the ALJ the fact he didn't have any health insurance, and that's at transcript page 63. The walking that he did, which the ALJ relied on to a great extent, Mr. Warren testified he could walk, it took him a half hour to walk a half a mile. And again, those are the kind of daily activities that are not involved. However, the one thing that I don't understand, She cited, it's in my short appendix or separate appendix, page 5. If you read section 317 there, mild mental retardation, it says these people usually achieve social and vocational skills adequate for a minimum self-support. And it further says that mild mental retardation, people with that can usually live successfully in the community, independently or in a supervised setting. That's right out of the DSM-4, and it backs up what I said. And moderate mental retardation, and I read from the bottom of that, it says in their adult years, the majority are able to perform unskilled or semi-skilled work. It's right here in the DSM-4. Under supervision in sheltered workshops or in the general workforce. So it backs up exactly what I said. Mentally retarded people can do semi-skilled work. That's not the real test. The real test is, does he have another impairment that affects his workability? The court found that. The IQ scores are there. His mental capacity is clearly in question. And the ALJ, to afford this man a fair hearing, should have at least ordered IQ testing as an adult. Thank you.
Yeah. Nice to see you again, Mr. Jenner.
Good to see you.
Thank you, counsel.